I'm Tanner Johnson.
And I'm Jack Dodgen.
We're from the Eastside Church of Christ. Teen life can be difficult to navigate. New emotions, experiences, pressures, and challenges shape what we understand about our identity. It's almost like navigating a maze. Twists, turns, dead ends. The race can be both exhilarating and terrifying. At Through the Maze podcast, we believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When we put our trust in Him, we can navigate the maze and build our identity based on who He says we are. And in the end, find life and life to the fullest. Thank you for walking alongside us today. Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome back to the podcast. We're hopefully going to have a fun episode for you today, talking about some church camps with summer happening. It's coming up. If you haven't had any yet, hopefully you're making your way and gonna try to make a few. Got Jack here today.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Good.
Doing all right?
Going well.
So, talking about camp today, we've got ours coming up next week, and I think we're ready for it. I mean, it's gonna be weird.
Too late
the,
now.
The past few years, I've been way more involved with the directing side of camp, and this year I'm just going as a counselor, and so I'm excited to see how that goes. It's been weird. It's been a while since I've just been that specifically, so I'll probably be like a wreck wondering what I'm supposed to be doing sometimes. But anyway, I got a couple notes.
Your crisis.
That's right.
When
we'll see how it goes.
Faith or something.
But camp's always great. It's a fun time. I sent out a message to some people, just kind of asked, trying to get some feedback on what they love about camp. And I got a few responses here. First one I have, it says, I love how at camp you don't always have to be wondering how many likes or follows you're getting on social media, and it isn't weird to bring up different beliefs or opinions about things in the Bible because you're at church camp. And it's an amazing break from the world. All the worries and what others think at school or whatever is gone. So that's kind of cool. Not worried about some of the distractions that you have going on in life. You know, you get a little bit of a break away from it, and kind of a little bit of a safe spot to explore some things in faith. I thought that was an interesting thought too. There was one response I got about the singing and the worship at camp, which is super cool. I know a few stories. Like we had one year at camp where there were tornadoes coming in, so we all got down in the storm shelter and just kind of sang for a while. It's, you know, acoustics are insane in tornado shelter. Pretty cool. Last one here, it's this one, canteen. Which is basically the snacks, you know, the candy bars.
What was your go-to drinking?
Go-to? I was a Snickers guy. Okay. Yeah, I got the Snickers at camp.
Water and Reese's Pieces was always the.
Oh, really? Water and Reese's Pieces.
Water and Reese's Pieces.
Okay.
Stay hydrated, and peanut butter is great.
That's right. Yeah. But there's something about it. I know it's a candy bar and a can of soda, and if you get that on a regular day, like, oh, this is kind of cool, it hits differently.
It just comes at the right time.
Yeah, it's right. It hits differently.
It's needed.
Yeah, yeah. But a little bit further on that response there, they talk about loving the outside nature, being away from everything to focus just on God. Love the friends that they make at camp, and the fun activities that bring us closer to each other, and the more serious activities that bring us closer to God. And I think that's a really cool, thoughtful response to the question, you know, just thinking about all the activities that
they know that they can turn off social media when they're home too, right?
You can go outside.
Can you though? Can you though? it's true. I mean, but I in camp
maybe another time.
Yeah, maybe, that's right. But I think there's a level of that where camp gives maybe more of an excuse to
well, nobody's on their phone.
Right, because there's the pressure of looking around and seeing everybody else on it. But then, you know, camp is like, you can't have your phones. And so you're forced to be there. So maybe there's a little bit of that there. You got any fun camp memories, anything? What do you like about camp?
Most of what I'm remembering right now, because I had been a counselor for several years, so what I'm remembering are my counselor years, not my camp years. Right. And a lot of that had to do with sports and trying to win. Mm-hmm. But we did have Q&A, you know, thinking about the safe place to ask questions and things like that.
Mm.
We had a Q&A after lunch for all the high schoolers every day, and I was listener and also a question answerer at one point, sitting up with other guys I had no business sitting up there with. But that stuff that I remember is, because it wasn't there and then it was for our camp. And so feeling like, oh, I can ask whatever I want here, sure, and write it in. Yeah. And we sent it. That was a big thing I remember about that.
Yeah. We did something like that at one of those senior sessions, and I thought that was really cool, where they just wrote on a card all the questions they had. And
went
So that's really cool. This is kind of a bizarre camp memory that I was thinking of, which there was a game that we played, and this is probably a game you don't want to play at camp if you're like in charge of
picking
games.
Happen maybe it should not happen
anymore. Yeah, well, like, it is more of just like maybe poor planning. We played this game called the Animal Game. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Basically, the game was go out with your team, and whoever brings back like the largest animal wins. Weird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My sister ended up coming back, and she had a bird. Like, she had caught a bird somehow. I don't know how you do that. She had found it, caught it, and brought it back. It was bizarre, right? Really weird. and one was of the other counselors...
It was alive.
Yeah, incredible. It wasn't dead.
It flew away afterwards?
I don't know. Maybe it was like... Okay, I don't know if she heard it
was
or something.
Tired.
But my sister was kind of ruthless that way.
A really tired bird.
But yeah, she caught it. It was really, really weird. Bizarre story, but...
That's not the one that won, though, right? Or is it?
Well, I mean, it depends on, like, your interpretation of the rules, because there was one of the other counselors there that went to a house across the street of a family that kind of is near the camp and asked if he could lead their horse back
there
over.
There we go. That's
so he came
up
with a horse.
For,
so,
like,
yeah,
there's got to be a cow. Yeah, there's got to be... Yeah. That's what I was waiting for.
So, I mean, it depends on if you think... Yeah, it depends on if your interpretation of the rules is you had to find a wild animal or not.
Oh, okay.
But this is probably something that's very dangerous to do in Altus, though. We were at Quartz Mountain at the time.
I caught
a rattlesnake.
Like here you
yeah,
go.
Rattlesnakes are everywhere. So... maybe dig a little bit deeper for your game choices. But that was cool. I mean, there's a lot of great things about camp as far as, like, just getting away from everything. And there's just this hyper-focus on the spiritual things. Like, I know, there's mentioning of the worship. The worship at camp is some of the greatest worship sessions as far as singing and praising goes that I've had at camp, and it's cool. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
So here are five fundamental characteristics of Christian camps. They're participatory. There's all these events that happen where you get involved. It's faith-centered. Number two, the majority of people that are directing camps, according to this study that I was looking at, they try to keep the theme or the stories that they're trying to tell at the center, at the forefront of the majority, if not all, the activities that they do. It's different from home. It's something that's just kind of unique, and it's kind of set apart that way. It's very relational. A lot of long-term, deep relationships have been made starting at camps, and you know, have grown from there. And it's a safe space, which it's a place where, you know, if you don't come from a very good place, it's a safe space to come and grow and know people and get close to God. But those are kind of some of the main characteristics of Christian church camps. And I had to issue an apology for last episode. I kind of shortchanged camps there for a minute because we were talking about church camps, and I kind of said that one of the only purposes in my mind was that it's just kind of this breakout kind of experience. You know, if you're going through the motions, it gets you out of the motions, or if there's someone that's on the fence, it kind of breaks through that. And it's actually there's some research here that I'm going to share that goes way beyond that. So I have to issue an apology to church camps everywhere for what I did wrong last time. But anyway,
yeah, a lot of people were asking me about that.
There were some very angry people that are like, how in the world, why in the world would you say that about camps? Yeah. I don't even know what I'm doing here. But anyway, some of these stats here, 39% of all American teenagers have been to a religious summer camp at least once, which is pretty solid event. That's not just that's not just kids that grew up in church, but you know, big number of American teenagers have made it out to a summer camp at least once. So some of the research has found that there's this temporary increase in general happiness in agreement with doctrinal statements such as, you know, God created the world, Jesus is the Son of God, things like that. There's kind of a temporary increase in that. It wasn't found to have this long-term effect. You know, once you get back into the grind of things and there are things that may make you question your faith.
Yeah.
It kind of chips away at some of that from time to time, but there were lasting changes, which I think this is pretty cool. There are lasting changes that had to do with the relevance of faith in everyday life. Like, faith in God helps me in my daily life and the way I walk. So, like, the growth might not be so much considered like this vertical faith where I believe in all the doctrinal statements all the time, but this horizontal faith that's saying that, like, faith has a positive impact on my life, and an understanding of that takes place, at least for 3 months. It has these clear and lasting impacts, and that's they reviewed this about 3 months after the camp, that it's kind of something that
until you go back to school.
Yeah, until you go back to school, that's right, and then everything is lost. So another thing that they found is that the campers had this increased interest in worship, but it faded very shortly after camp. But it increased the agreement of the value of belonging to a church, which is interesting. So, like, over time, you get back into worship, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to kind of go through the motions of singing and saying the prayers, things like that. But as far as belonging to a church and knowing that you have a place there, it increased for a longer term. Also, there's this increased belief that they could turn to Christian friends or adults in the church whenever they were in need. They had this growth in knowing that they could be vulnerable with these people. So, those who attended religious summer camp as children or youth were over 3 times more likely to remain religious 5 years later than those who did not attend. So, so maybe thinking about faith after you get out of high school and stuff, which we may have a pretty cool episode on that later on, but this idea of that you are involved in this church camp 5 years later, it's been found that you still have this deep desire to be a part of a Christian community, and you have this hunger to learn more, and there's this assurance that faith makes a difference in your lives. It's kind of interesting how that happens, but their young people are participating more deeply in their faith months after camp is over, and it continues to affect them for years down the road. Do you have any reactions to any of those stats? I didn't know if you had any thoughts on any of those.
I think we're going to talk about this in just a moment, but when you're doing this week to week and then you have all the distractions of everything in between all of that, like, that makes sense to me why things become routine. You have to fight harder for presence in worship.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here and I'm actually wanting to be involved and all of that. You have to fight harder throughout the week for study and all of this.
Yeah.
Some of those stats were surprising, but it makes sense when you realize, like, I don't know how camps you've done have been structured in the past. I am in the I visit to speak at camps right now phase until my kids get old enough, and then I'll start being exhausted again from camp. It's way more fun to be a camper than a counselor. But anyway,
for sure.
When I was going through camp, it was very structured around, you know, we have a morning devotional, we eat, but then there's this, you know, we can choose from this class or whatever we're discussing with this group, and we would do things together as a group, and then it would maybe move into games or other stuff, but you're still with these people that, you know, we're all worshiping the same, we're listening to the same things, believing the same stuff, and it's just constantly structured around, here is what we are about, here are the things that we believe, and constantly reinforcing that without all of this other stuff. And so it doesn't surprise me that camp is very helpful in that way. That is, I think, attainable outside of camp. It's just way harder. The point, we got to fight for it.
And I think that was one of the things that threw me off as far as like why I made my controversial statements last. I'm just kidding. I know, I'm gonna quit pretending that I said anything that was ridiculous, but because I never do say things that are ridiculous. But yeah, it's kind of that idea that, you know, the camper's interest in worship, you know, it says that it fades very shortly after camp. And I think that's the whole church high thing, you know, that you get.
Yeah.
I think that's what kind of threw me off. It's like, you know, it's this big boom, you know, it's the fireworks. It goes off and, you know, everything's really great for a week and then you go back down. But I mean, you definitely can see, especially after looking at these, it almost like raises the baseline, I guess. I know it's important and I know that there's these certain lifestyle things that are really, really good. But, you know, those are maybe more subtle, I guess, like mm-hmm. the Christian community and the importance of it and understanding that importance is more subtle than I'm going to get up and lead singing everywhere, you know, as a teenager saying, like, I'm going to get really, really involved in all these things now and I'm going to stay involved that way. But it's maybe a raises the baseline kind of thing for me. So, but yeah, super, super cool stats there. But anyway, we get into a little bit of scripture. I wanted to find a section of scripture, and it makes me, this section actually makes me think of church camp a lot of the times. This is just following Pentecost, and I usually try to find something within the life of Jesus whenever we're doing these, but I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. Count it. He's still alive when this is going on. He's resurrected alive, but.
Yeah. That's right. So that's right.
This is fine.
And maybe like every day with Jesus was like church camp, you know, just walking around talking stuff. Yeah, so I don't know, maybe. That's right. Yeah, that's right. So it was great. But anyway, this is in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. This is just following Pentecost, and it's kind of talking about the followers and the way they were kind of doing life after some of the big, you know, big lessons that the disciples were giving, the apostles
were
giving.
Yeah, they had just heard this great sermon. They all went to the swimming pool, and there was, you know, 3,000.
That's right. That's right. They all lined up for canteen.
That's right.
And got their unleavened bread and stuff. But they, so anyway, into the verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added their number daily, those who were being saved. So I think what the parallel that I find most, this is like camp, is just the amount of community that's there. This hyper focus on...
Yeah, God. Everything they're doing
day,
is around
day
this.
After
yeah.
day
yeah.
after day. They're together, and maybe I said I'd concede that this was a different time, different culture, and people probably lived reasonably close to one another. Neighbors were probably within walking distance. They had similar lifestyles, and I'd be willing to guess there was a certain degree of seeing each other often anyway. Maybe I'm
true,
maybe
but they're coming from all of these various towns into Pentecost. So it's like they're leaving there. They weren't Christians before they came here, but that's aside from that.
Yeah, that's true.
They left all of their surrounding towns to come into this place. So some of them are like, oh, I've never seen you otherwise.
Oh,
I live 2 hours this way.
Oh, okay.
You know, sort of thing. So there is...
So
it's kind of church camping that way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
People traveling and come together.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, and you just found... You find something very special in this Christian community, and it seems like that's kind of what's going on here. This is this new thing. I mean, as far as the
new
Christian practice, you know, and they're all together and they're excited, they're pumped up about it. And I mean, you can get down the line and you can see that every church is going to have their issues as they go on, and you kind of see the grind a little bit, you know, in some of the later ones that Paul has stuff to talk about to different churches as ways they're falling away and doing things that aren't quite right. But in this moment, especially, there's this deep Christian community. People are selling their stuff and helping each other out, and they're devoting themselves to teaching every day. You know, they're all finding it very important to be together and focus on Christ. Looking at some of the math here, I wanted to look at some of our distractions, where, you know, 30 hours on average is spent at school a week, maybe. At best, school's focused on, you know, we learn our regular subjects in class. Maybe there's some superficial conversations with classmates, some maybe good conversations and deep conversations in some cases. But maybe depending on your friend group, there could even be spiritual conversations that happen.
Other junk, too.
That's right, a lot of drama, things like that. At worst, it could be super toxic, a lot of worldly influence, and we see that all the time, how bad influences are a part of the equation, and you get that for hours and hours a year and hours a week. And if you're involved in church, maybe on a weekly basis, if you're involved Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, maybe you have one other church event that you show up to a week, which sometimes there's not even another one every week, you know. We're looking at 4 to 5 hours a week spent with this Christian focus or this spiritual focus.
And if you can call it focus, right? Because there's, you think about like a normal Sunday morning and it's, man, I'm super tired.
Right.
But you make it through class get into worship and it's, man, I'm super hungry now too. I can't wait to take this nap.
And
who's going to be there tonight if I go back, you know, or my friend's going to be.
Right.
So there's, like, there are people who are focused on this stuff, but you may not be entirely focused.
Right.
I got to do homework because I got stuff due tomorrow morning. So I got, you know, and that may be what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
You just don't have any of that at camp. It's, I know what I'm doing every hour.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it just painting the picture of like the average week, how much things are feeding into your life. You know, there's the daily grind of influences from school and whatever else you're involved in, and then it usually vastly outweighs the amount of influence you're getting from just organized spiritual feeding, I guess, if you look at that way. But yeah, camp is different, as in it's this week-long hyper focus from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed. Like there's this push to get you to focus on godly lessons, praise and worship, building Christian community, good, positive, clean fun, right? And the experience feels good, and I think it's especially when you commit to it, when you commit to the spiritual aspect of it. Because I mean, you can get to church camp and go through the motions too, but when you really, really commit to the spiritual aspect, you can. I think it just kind of highlights that contrast between the regular grind of the day to day, the way that you normally operate, and the deeper, more real, more fulfilling faith walk that you could be engaged in every day if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what the early Christians may have found. You know, like there's this daily grind. There's this is what I've always been doing where I lived, and then now I'm hearing these new lessons, and now I'm really focusing on it. I'm learning it, and it changes them. It changes you whenever you really, really devote yourself to that. And I think camp has a good way of starting that out and doing that. So the practical is very easy this week. Go to camp. if you have the opportunity, try to make it out to one. There's a lot of positives that can be taken away from going to camp. And here's a few things that are advice that I try to give as far as like committing to the week. And because you can go and you can just be there, or you can really commit to being there. And I think there's a difference there. Like one thing that I usually try to start out all of our camp weeks with is whenever we're having fun, have the most fun you can have, play hard. Whenever we're trying to take things seriously, take it as seriously as you can take it. Just put the most that you have into each event and everything that you do. Like sometimes the activities will seem dumb. like you'll hear, this is what we're doing, then the next thing, and then you're like, well, okay, I guess I'll be there for that.
Icebreakers.
The icebreakers, right? Like, do you have a favorite icebreaker that you know? That's putting you on the spot a little
bit.
I don't
remember exactly what it was we did, but it was like the first night or something, and we were all assigned random teams, lined up under the, because this was at courts as well, one of the bigger pavilion things, and... Mm-hmm. It's like you're gonna have to send this mattress. Everybody laying on your back, and you're sending this mattress down, and then this other thing's gonna come back. This I can't remember everything that we did. I just know that it was a bunch of what are we doing? Oh, okay, I guess we're starting. I don't know what to do. And yeah, it was chaos.
Yeah, yeah. The classic one for me is whenever
all the best
you,
ones are.
Yeah, yeah. The classic one for me is when you get them to circle up and you just hand a toilet paper roll and say, take it how much you need. And then they pass around. And then afterwards you say, okay, for each square you took, you have to say something about yourself. You know, that's a pretty classic one, pretty good. But anyway, committing to the week, some of those things might seem really dumb, but if you actually... If you actually give yourself to it, embrace it, take it, it's always great. I mean, I think the difference between a great event and a poor event is your attitude.
Yeah.
That's usually how it goes. Another thing I love this about camp is that you have an opportunity to radically serve in ways maybe that you wouldn't really take on normally. Like, one thing about camp is responsibilities are laid out pretty well as far as when it's your time to clean, when it's your time to do this, what your job is as far as responsibilities. And I always think it's really cool whenever I see teens or campers that go out of their way to help other groups finish their jobs. Like it's cool. I know, like, I'm not just trying to, like, get people to clean up more at camp, but there's this opportunity to really serve. And anytime that I've done that as a camper or anything, I've always felt really good about it. Like, it's very fulfilling because serving is part of the pattern that God's made for you. And it's one of those things, it's hard to explain unless you actually give yourself to it, but
finding yourself in the running for a service award.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's which is really the only reason to do any of that in the first place. But it's just kind of cool. There's an opportunity to really, really get in there.
No, it really does feel good.
Yeah, to get in there, to get in there and serve, and just to see what Christ has for you in that. So, one other thing, it's a safe place for you to push yourself to deeper study. If you've just kind of been surface level for a long time, it's a really good place to push yourself into, you know, asking questions and just really giving yourself to it. A good place to be vulnerable. One of my favorite things about the camp that we would do, we have these small groups at the end of the day where we just talk about all the questions and stuff. And really opening up during those times is like one of those really cool moments where people share stuff about their life and what's going on, and you really grow from that. And you really, the more you put yourself out there, the more you grow in the end. So it's also a good place to take chances on leading. If you're someone that is, you know, never led a prayer before or never led a song before, it's just a pretty relaxed place to put yourself out there and try some new things. Lastly, bring it home. Don't just leave the things you learn at camp, and whether that's the way you're living or the way that you're thinking about things, make sure to bring it home. And a good idea might be to take a few notes of things that really stood out to you at camp, so that whenever you come home and they ask, what did you learn? You can say, hey, this is something that really stuck out to me. And you can kind of share your story, share a little bit of a testimony of how you grew closer to Christ during camp time. So, you have any of that other advice before I get into conclusion?
No.
Okay. Closing up here, class last Sunday, we had a discussion talking about one of Jesus's seven I am statements where Jesus claimed he is the good shepherd. And I love the picture that he paints within that scripture of, you know, there's this pen and it has all these different flocks of sheep, and there are thieves, there are wolves, there's hired hands, there's something for everybody in this story, right? He also says one of the statements that I think we use in the opener of the podcast here is how he has come to offer life and life to the fullest, right? Jesus says that the good shepherd, he leads his flock to these nice pastures where he guards over them, and they're sustained, they find peace. And if we're paying attention, not just for camp, but throughout our lives, Jesus tries to lead us to these pockets of green pastures within our chaotic, crazy life. And I would describe them as places that we're invited to drop the distractions and focus deeply on this relationship with God, and these places where we are being taken care of, these places where we are growing closer to our shepherd, right? These are worship times, personal devotional times, other church events. Church camp is one of these pastures in my mind. That church camp, it isn't without its temptations. It's not without its problems. The thief still tries to get in and take things. The robber tries to destroy. But when we approach with the right mindset, it's a place where we're open to experience Christ in a much deeper way than we might do in the daily grind of things. We make valuable Christian relationships. We make memories that last a lifetime. And the important thing to remember is what makes the experience of church camp unique: God at the forefront and the freedom from distraction to pursue deeply. I love that at camp, and that's the part that we need to bring home as well when it's over. We pursue a relationship with God, godly relationships, and life to the fullest Christ wants us wants to lead us to. So that's thought for today. Any closing thing there?
It's doable.
It's doable.
It's doable when you get back. It's just you gotta work harder at it. But
that's right. And give camp your all. It's a lot of fun, and you'll make some great memories. Try not to break too much stuff.
And don't grab too many toilet paper squares.
That's right. I gave you the hint beforehand, so you know what to do. Anyway. All right. Well, I think that's a wrap. Thank you guys for being with us today. So if you want to join in the conversation, we're on Twitter and Instagram at The Maze Podcast. Come check us out. Thank you. Like, subscribe, share with a friend. Do the things.
See you next time.
What a great close. All right. See you next time. Thank you for joining us on the Through the Maze podcast. This is the part where we navigate team life together. Subscribe and like this podcast, share it with friends, leave a comment about your experience dealing with the issues we talked about. We don't pretend to have all the answers. We'd love to see you share what has worked for you and what hasn't worked. What are your stories about dealing with today's topic? It's also an opportunity to share a word of encouragement as we try to understand where Christ is leading us as we navigate through the maze.